This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الفلاح. هيا على الفلاح. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونتوب إليه ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فصلوات الله وسلامه على خير من أرسل، سيدنا وأسوتنا ونبينا ورسولنا محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تأسى به واتبع سنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم، اللهم آمين. إن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن خير الأمور عزائمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، يقول تبارك وتعالى في سورة المائدة: اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون، اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. In سورة المائدة الله سبحانه وتعالى says: today the disbelievers have given up from your religion, meaning they are not able to defeat it. Do not fear them. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنَ. Do not fear them, rather fear me, He subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I have perfected, I have completed your deen for you. And I have completed my ni'mah upon you. And I have accepted Islam as your deen. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, the famous mufassir, he says that this is the greatest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this ummah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the deen for them, perfected the deen for them. They don't need another deen, and they do not need another prophet other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why he subhanahu wa ta'ala made Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the seal of the prophets, the end of the last of the prophets. And he sent him to mankind and to al-jinn. There is no halal but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal. And there is no haram but what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram. There is no deen, legitimate deen, but what Allah ta'ala legislated. And everything that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about is haqq. is truth. It is, there is no lie in it, and there is no discrepancy. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah tells us that the deen of Islam is enough for this ummah. The deen of Islam is the greatest ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given us. We set our behavior according to this deen, our way of thinking according to this deen. The prism that we have of how we view events, how we view ideas, how we view people, how we view, you know, ourselves, based on this deen, this criteria, it is the only thing that we need in this life to function in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he, rahimahullah, completes the rest of the ayah. He talks about the rest of the ayah. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. So he says, and I have accepted Islam as a deen for you. He said, فَرْضَوْهُ أَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Then if Allah Ta'ala is pleased with this deen for you, then you should be pleased with this deen for yourselves. If Allah Ta'ala is accepted, has accepted this deen, and is pleased with this deen, then we, who are we to have another opinion and to say, I like from this deen this part, or I don't like from this deen that part, but we have to to accept it completely and to like it completely. Because, as Ibn Kathir continues, it is the deen that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with and loves. And he sent the best of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with. And revealed the best of the books, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, you know, with it. This is the deen of Islam. And Allah Ta'ala, when he mentions these things, he mentions them as tamannun. He's showing the favors that he's done to us, that he's given us, and it is indeed the best ni'mah, the highest ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given us is the ni'mah of Islam, even though, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Even if you were to count the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, you're not going to be counting it, but the message of Islam, the guidance of the deen of Islam, serves as the most important ni'mah, the most important blessing Allah has given us. This ayah tells us, الْيَوْمَ يَأِسَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ دِينِكُمْ. Islam is already airtight. No disbeliever can defeat it intellectually. No disbelievers can come up with an argument to refute it. And remember the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الْإِسْلَامُ يَعْلُوا وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. Islam is to dominate, not to be dominated. This is on every level. Islam dominates. Islam is the supreme. Nothing comes above it. And we are told that to have this fear only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he tells us that this deen is complete and valid for all times and places. This is the deen Allah ta'ala has accepted for us. And therefore, we only have to abide for it. So if it is good until the day of judgment, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with it, then shouldn't we be pleased with it? Shouldn't our children be pleased with it? Shouldn't this be the message, the amana, the trust that we convey to our children generation after generation, that our children, the best ni'mah that you have is not the car that you drive, is not the health that you have, is not the good family you're from. The best ni'mah that you have is that Allah Ta'ala has guided you to Islam. Is this the message that we're covering and we're conveying to our children in and out? It's this view, this conviction that Islam is the best ni'mah. It's this view that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted this deen above everything else. It is this view that this is the Allah, what Allah ta'ala is pleased with, that makes the Muslims function generation after generation. Despite the fact that Islam is no longer implemented for tens of decades, you still have Muslims asking for it, working for it, demanding it, because they believe that this is the haqq. This is the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we have a minority amongst us who do not understand this part. And they look for other things to complement Islam or to supplement Islam, thinking, you know, that somewhere something is missing, we need to add to it, waliyadu billah. But these are a minority group. And they are, in any intellectual discussion I have witnessed, they could not withstand really the proper conversation. But we have the problem, or the challenge that we're facing, is that while the people who see that there are certain deficiencies or certain things that we need to
work on to implement or to bring from other systems and other ways of life, namely the Western way of life, they are a minority. With our children, it's exactly the opposite. With our children, the majority of them, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ, the majority actually have become very westernized in thought, even amongst the people who are practicing Islam. Because practicing Islam is not only doing the movements, the things that it's the way you see the world, the way you view the events, the way you view the actions that you are doing to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a big difference between a sister who wears hijab, as an example, and views it as a sign of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am a Muslim woman and I am wearing this hijab to please him subhanahu wa ta'ala, versus somebody who says it's a personal choice. The idea of personal choice and individual freedom, and the idea of you as an individual, you are the autonomous and you choose whatever suits you, this is not in our Islamic culture, this is in the Western culture. Yet now you can hardly see anybody on the social media when they talk about, Alhamdulillah, I started wearing the hijab, without them coming out and saying, and this is my personal choice. If they mean by personal choice that it was not by force or compulsion, no problem. But this is not really what's meant. What is meant is that this is my personal choice, somebody else chooses something else, and there is no difference between this choice and mine. Because my choice is only mine, theirs is theirs, then the both of them, the haqq and the batil, the obedience and disobedience, the adherence to the Islamic rule and the lack thereof, they are all the same. We see it now with the position that many of our Muslim children, our Muslim offsprings, our Muslim next generation, the position that they have with LGBTQ. The support is not, as you can debate support, whether it's politically motivated or not. But when you talk about, this is the way Allah created them, this is the way that they are, you have to give them, they have to respect their choice. Things of this, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as a crime. So is this an Islamic way of thinking? Or even this is, again, amongst the activists, is this an Islamic way of thinking? Or is this something, a Western way of thinking? Something that's alien to Islam. So the changes are taking place. And the changes are taking place within the Ummah. And unfortunately, with all the pressure that the Ummah is going under, and with all the oppression that the Ummah is going through, it seems from the human perspective, it just seems going from bad to worse. Because now it's no longer just adherence to Islam or not. It is now a matter of how we even view Islam as a whole. You know, when I moved to this area, and this is a personal experience, if I may share it with you. About 4 years ago, I moved from another state to this area. And we were looking, my family and I, we were looking for a place to go where we wanted a big Muslim community. And we wanted to be close to the masajid and the activities of the masajid. So I went to different, to more than one state. But this was the second state I came to. And it happened that when I came to Raleigh on a Friday night. And I came to the IAR on Friday night. And I saw, mashallah, hundreds between children, different age groups. The masjid was like a beehive, so busy. You have children who are playing with bonfire outside. There were children who are playing like chess, some kind of games. There were, kids playing, chasing each other, kids playing basketball, etc. And then I came into the masjid, inside. And there was another presentation by a brother engineer who was working for NASA at that time. And he was giving a presentation. And I left the building a couple of hours later and I went to my wife. I said, this is the place. She said, I agree. And we moved. We took our family and we moved to this area so that, to be part of this community. And then what happened? Of course, Corona hit. And then we kept on saying, well, there's no activities in the masajid because of Corona. You come to the masjid, it's basically a ghost town most of the time. But it was because of Corona. Well, Corona's gone. And now we do everything normal. And you still have many people who stopped coming to the masjid, even though you would find them in cafes, you would find them in restaurants, No masks, no whatsoever. Life goes normal. The only thing that was that got, you know, taken out of the equation is the masjid. Is that the masjid? And the hundreds of children that I saw on a Friday night. Now when you talk about the Sunday school and how many people from, how many youth from high school age, the high school age group, how many of them attend in all the masajid in this area? They are in the tens. They are in the tens. Does this match the number of youth that we have? So where are they? How come they are not in the masjid? How come they are not amongst us in the salah? Yes, alhamdulillah, we have, and I see some faces. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. But is this the norm? Is this something that is consistent? Most of the time, you will not find them. If they come to the masjid, they go play basketball or they go play outside, and then they take off. So the question is, do they understand the message that we're supposed to convey to them, that this is the best ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given you? Is the ni'mah of Islam? So then the next question is, how much of Islam do they actually understand? Because now if our youth, our children do not come to the masjid, you do not see them in the salah, you do not see them in classes that are held, you do not see them in sessions, how will they understand the ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala? How will they appreciate it with ignorance? How will they adjust their way of thinking to think from the prism or the view of Islam based on the scale of Islam rather than on some other civilization? How are we supposed to make an impact when they are not participating? What will this lead to in a few years from now? The 10-year-old who attended the masjid, you know, because they had to at some point, and then they've gone for about 3 years. And they never came back. What will happen now? What are they now? They are 13, 14 years old. What will happen when they become 17 and 18, away from Islam and away from the masajid, away from learning the deen? What will happen then? What will happen to our deen in the long term? Our deen as a law, as a deen for the Muslim ummah, it is lasting until the day of judgment. And inshallah ta'ala, it will be victorious. This is not a matter of debate or discussion amongst anybody who's read the Quran and Kareem. But we're talking about what will happen to our children, my children and yours. What will happen to the children in this masjid? What will happen to Islam in this area? This is what we are discussing. Without the participation of our children, without the presence of them, what will happen? You will find you have classes. You go from one masjid to the other. You see the classes. They are attended by 5-10 people. And most of the time, they're the same people. So again, where is everybody? It cannot be COVID, because COVID is really, practically speaking, is gone. And alhamdulillah, all of us are sitting here without masks and everybody functions normally. So what happened to our children? What effort are we doing to involve them in the masajid? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our ummah, protect our children, protect our deen. أَقُولَ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My brothers, my sisters, we have to be a one unit when it comes to our children and educating them in Islam and keeping them around the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ And help each other, associate, you know, to do righteousness, to do good things, you know, and do not help each other to do the things that are evil. If we do not take active steps to do this, again, what will happen? If you notice, most of the people who run the masajid, you know, in the West in general, are first generation immigrants. Most of them are not second or third generation. You know, so the question is, are we going to keep relying on immigrants coming in so that the masajid continue to function? Why? How come that the children who are born and raised here, how come they do not see the masjid as their burden? How come they do not see the affairs of the community? May ensuring that the Muslims have a place to pray al-Jum'ah, have a place to actually worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that this is their headache, this is their responsibility, this is something that they need to shoulder. You know, how come we don't have that? There is something missing. There is something missing in the way that we communicate with our children, the way that we are raising them, the way we are functioning in the masjid, something that needs really further discussion. But there is something missing where you do not have, you have that this setup where it's always the immigrants or, you know, first generation Muslims or, you know, convert brothers and sisters who actually are running the masajid, but our children, as if this is not their concern. Their failure is our failure as parents and as a community. You know, really, their failures are our failure. And I want to emphasize a point that Dr. Hisham mentioned in the previous khutbah, in the first khutbah. You'll find, and I give classes, you know, in different masjids. Probably 90% of the attendees are non-Arabic speaking people. And the question is, what happened to the Arabs? Why is it, if the population is 50-50, let's say, 70-40, whichever it is, how come is it that most of the time, the people who are interested in the deen, in studying Islam, bringing their children to the masjid, with all the deficiencies and the issues we have, they tend to be non-Arabs? This is reality. And this is not just here. This is also in New Jersey, you know, where the same thing in the masjid. Most of the time, non-Arabs. And then what are we, you know, what is it? Is it because we speak slang Arabic that we automatically understand Islam better? Is it because we have Arab genes that we already know Islam better than the Muslim, our brothers and sisters, or non-Arabs? What is it that makes us, you know, feel secure that our children will be just fine? And we are just fine, and what we're doing is just fine. Where is that false sense of accomplishment or success is coming from? You come to any class and you'll find most of them non-Arabs. And it is something that really makes you think, why is it so? You know, this is something that we need to think about as well. We have the activities in the masjid. The masjid, regardless how successful the administration is, they cannot reach out to people's homes and invite kids to come in, to bring parents, encourage parents. They can only do so much. And most of the people who work in the masjid are volunteers. They are volunteers. Most of them are volunteers. So what are we expecting really from them? How much effort are we expecting from them to serve our children, to serve us and to take care of our children, while we are stepping, you know, or leaning back and saying, you know, you guys have not done enough. Why? Because I donated whatever amount, you know, for the masjid, God knows when. This is the wrong way of looking at things. With all due respect, this is the wrong way of looking at things. Raising children is a responsibility. At the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala questions the parents for it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyatihi." Each of you is a shepherd and you're responsible for your flock. فَالرَّجُلُ فِي بَيْتِهِ رَاعٍ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعَيَّتِهِ. The man is the head of the household in their house, in his house, and he is responsible for his family. And the woman is she's a رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا. She is in her husband's house. She is also the caretaker, and she's responsible for her responsibility. So the point is, whatever the community provides really is to assist the parents in it. So at the end of the day, each one who is a parent needs to step back and say, okay, where am I falling short? What do I need to do to make sure that my children and the children of other Muslims, because we are a single brotherhood. So what are we doing to actually assist, make things happen? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Islam better in the future generations than it is now. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this deen victorious. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم الطف بأولادنا واحفظ عليهم دينهم. اللهم احفظ عليهم دينهم. اللهم اجعلهم أسوة في الدين يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلي اللهم وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Just before, a few announcements before Salah, please. One is that there's a program that's starting called Recite, Pray and Play. This is for youth ages 5 and older, who are invited to come attend Quran circles with community instructors and the play at the masjid. This is on Mondays, Wednesdays and Saturdays between Maghrib and Isha. There is no registration needed and there is no fees. It is free. So please, Mondays, Wednesdays and Saturdays, please bring your children 5 years old and up, you know, to between Maghrib and Isha for Quran and for playing as well. And the Islamic Association of Raleigh congratulates you on the approach of Eid al-Adha tomorrow, Saturday, July 9th. Eid prayers will be held at the Exposition Center at the NC State Fairgrounds in two shifts. So there will be two shifts, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow in the fairgrounds in NC State. And the first shift will be held at 8:30 a.m. and gathering will begin at 7:30 a.m. The first shift will be, inshallah ta'ala, at 8:30. But it seems that there is more people, of course, because Saturday they end up going to the second shift, which will be held, inshallah, at 10:30 a.m. and gathering is at 9:30. So because of that, try as much as you can to attend the first khutbah, the first shift, please, to take the load off of the, you know, in parking and the logistics for the second. So if we can take, you know, attend the first shift, Salah is at 8:30, inshallah, gathering is 7:30. It is better than attending the 10:30 a.m. and gathering is at 9:30. Also, please bring your musalla for you, you know, some rug or something to pray on for you and for your family as it will be needed. And of course, just to remind you that today, inshallah ta'ala, is the last day to pay for qurbani, for the udhiyah. And you can pay online or use the envelopes in the lobby. As you know, IR came out with the udhiyah for places that are hit hard, Muslim places such as Yemen, Afghanistan, and there's another place that are in dire need. So if you can pay online, today is the last day, inshallah ta'ala, for the udhiyah. And finally, of course, there is the Eid Fest for the community, inshallah, and it will be held tomorrow at the Exposition Center beginning at 3 p.m. It will be at 3 p.m., inshallah, ta'ala. As today is Arafah, and this is the best day to make the dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving and most answering the dua on Arafah, please do not forget to make dua for our brothers, our sisters, you know, throughout the world. We are one ummah. Kuntum khayra ummah. We are one ummah. And whatever aches any of us is our ache and is our sickness, inshallah ta'ala. So please make dua for them, especially some of us are fasting. And, you know, make the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve their deen, preserve their health, preserve their wealth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the situation the ummah is in so that they can take care of the challenges that they are facing. Jazakum Allah khair wa qumu ila salatikum.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استقيموا اعتدلوا straighten your lines and you look to your right and to your left to make sure that the line is straight inshallah صلوا صلاة مودع الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it Eid Mubarak, and every year inshallah ta'ala will be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.